Right. Well, man, I'm glad you're here tonight. We're going through the lectionary text each week as churches all around the world, and this week they usually have like a psalm and a New Testament, you know, a gospel and epistle and all that kind of stuff. And this week we're actually going to be going through the psalm that was attached this week. It's Psalm 139. It's really one of my couple of favorite psalms. It's a text, and it's an idea that is simultaneously kind of fun, kind of cool, but also at moments a little bit disturbing. And it kind of reminded me, I feel like it's like raining in here or something, if that makes sense. It kind of reminded me, recently I've noticed, and well, let me ask you this, has anyone else been disturbed lately at how accessible parts of your life that you didn't think were accessible are to everyone else now? Like have you noticed on Facebook how all of a sudden like people know things about you they shouldn't know? Have you been getting any of those like targeted advertisements and stuff? You guys know what I'm talking about? I've been getting a bunch of stuff like that lately. I started getting the first thing that freaked me out, and this started a few months ago, was like I'd go on Amazon and be looking at something, maybe looking at this record or looking at this book or something. You're like, oh, cool. And like the next day, you get on Facebook, and then in the middle of your feed is that very thing you're looking at from Amazon, and you're like, Amazon, what are you doing on my Facebook? How'd you know that? Like somehow they're tracking it, which is a little creepy. And then I started getting targeted ads to get me to buy things that are about kind of parts of my life that I didn't think were necessarily something they should know about. I've gotten a couple. Here, I'll just turn this off for right now. Or I'll turn it down, and then we can turn that back up later on. Just remember, when the band starts and it's really quiet, it's because that knob needs to be turned. So I've actually got a couple pictures. These have been showing up a lot lately in my little feed. An ad for this sweatshirt has been showing up, which just says, Pastor only because full-time multitasking ninja is not an actual ministry title. I would never buy this. I'm never gonna buy this. But I don't know how they knew I was a pastor. Like I don't have that listed anyplace. That's not like in your information listed as pastor. I don't think it is anyway. So that's been on there. The other one that came up that I haven't really appreciated too much, and that's been coming up a lot, is they're keeping track of my age, and they know my style too. This is obviously something I would wear and feel very good about. But there's this thing where like all of a sudden I'm realizing people are knowing more about me than I'm comfortable with them knowing. I adopted when Facebook first started kind of, you know, gaining steam and all this kind of stuff. I adopted kind of the posture right off the bat of like I'm not going to be selective, right? Is that mine? Oh, it's up top? Okay, that is me then. Here. Nope, still going. I have no idea what that is. Anyways, so I just kind of adopted this thing where I realized pretty early on that Facebook friends weren't actual friends. I mean, those things could overlap, but they weren't synonymous terms, right? And so I was not at all. Now with my real life friends, I'm very selective. It's hard to get in that group. It's, you know, long waiting list. A lot of people want in, but not everyone gets in. But for like Facebook, if someone sends me a friend request, unless it's like some scantily clad woman that I'm pretty sure is, you know, something shady going on there, I just, yes, I don't care, just yes, that's fine. I'm not going to put anything on there I don't want people to see. I'm not worried about it. And but what that's led to is a bunch of situations where I'll end up it's happened a bunch now, especially because I don't know if we're Facebook friends, you may have noticed that I occasionally will post a picture of my daughter every once in a while. Five or six times a day. And like she now has a big time Facebook following. Like I have people that I didn't even realize I was Facebook friends with them. I don't know them. I wouldn't know them if I walked. And they'll stop me and they'll be like, you know, how's Lillian? Or, oh my gosh, when Lillian did that thing, that was so cute. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you creeper, get away from me. And it's this weird thing. Like how do you know my daughter's name? How do you know about that? And you realize like, man, that anyone can kind of get stuff on you now that you, like before was kind of, you know, out of bounds or off limits, or they may not know about. Thank you, Dave, whatever you did, that was amazing. Let's give it up for Dave right here. And I realized quickly that I quickly get uncomfortable when I realize someone knows a lot about me, right? Even the people I'm closest to, I'll be honest with you, if if my own wife, whom I love more than anyone, and who I've married and given the rest of my life to, and we've been married for over 11 years now, there's a point to which she can know too much about me, and my own wife would creep me out. Like if I woke up tomorrow morning and I the cobwebs are clearing and I kind of turned and she was just laying there looking at me, and I said good morning, and she said, you breathe deeply 14 times per minute, average per night, and I've been keeping track for a few weeks now, and it's about 14 times, and I really feel like it should be 16 or 17, so maybe we need to get you a little more cardio. And also, you wear those boxers at about a 1.6-to-1 ratio to any other pair when you sleep, and I think it's probably time to rotate those around. I mean, there'd be a point where I start going, hey, creeper, I know you're my wife, but like that's too much information. I probably just gave you too much information by telling you what I wear to bed. I didn't even think about that. That's neither you nor I wanted you to know that. But anyways, there's a point where I should write down these examples a little more clearly. There's a point where someone can just know too much information about you. They can be a little bit too close, and they can be a little bit creepy, right? I mean, ultimately, there's something about someone knowing too much about you or knowing a lot about you that moves beyond something we're comfortable with. And why is that? I began to think about that, because in this psalm, there's a lot of language that if it was anyone, even though it is God, if it was anyone other than God, it would be a little bit uncomfortable. And I began to think, what is it? What is it about me that level of kind of intimate knowledge is a little bit scary to me, right? Why is that uncomfortable? And I think if, as we read through Psalm 139, and we're going to read through 1 through 18, which I know is a lot of verses, but I want us to kind of think about that level, that kind of discomfort that comes with someone knowing so much about us. Because to be honest, this if you wanted to look at it in this light, this psalm gets a little bit almost stalkerish, right? If it was a love letter from someone, you would call in and get a restraining order, right? But it's about God, and for some reason, David seems to find comfort in it, so should we. But let's talk about it a little bit. Okay, Psalm 139 says this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before as you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And I'm not sure if this is rhetorical or if he's tried and he's failed. I'm not sure. I certainly have at different points in my life. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Right? There's nothing hidden. Even the darkest parts, even those things we think are most hidden, nothing is hidden. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And these are a couple of my favorite verses. Right? How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You right? I mean, the words, even before they come out of my mouth, no matter where I go, no matter how dark it is, no matter how high, how low, no matter how far away, you are there. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. You knew what was going to happen before it happened. If I were to count how many times you thought about me, it would outnumber the grains of sand. And I know we're inland a little bit. I come from West Palm Beach, where there's a beach. Trust me, there's a lot of sand. Okay. If anyone in this room, even the one you love the most, said, I think about you as many times a day as there's grains of sand, you'd probably say, yeah, back off a little bit. God is sounding a bit obsessive here. It borders on uncomfortable. And I can remember really wrestling with this idea as a kid, because I don't ever remember personally ever being worried about Santa. I'm not sure I ever believed in Santa. I don't remember the time when I did. And that whole, like, he sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake, which is, you know, kind of borrowed from here a little bit. You know, that whole thing, that never bothered me. I never thought about that. There was no shelf with an elf on it, any of those kind of things when I was a kid that was, you know, watching me and judging me and that kind of thing. So I wasn't worried about those kind of things. But I was always taught that God sees everything, right? We were told often, pretty much weekly as kids, and this is kind of the way they try to keep us in line, right? Hey, you can't fool God, right? God knows what you're doing. God knows what you're thinking. And that was the hard part, right? I mean, God even knows, I don't even have to do something bad. I just have to think something bad and God knows about it, right? God knows it all. Now, you would think that maybe that would help keep me in line, because I really believed that, right? I believed that as much as you possibly could. It wasn't something I said, nah, that can't be right. I mean, I believed it. As it turns out, it didn't really keep me in line as much as just made me feel a lot worse about the things that I did that no one else knew about. And it made me a little scared, and it made me a lot insecure. Because that kind of vulnerability, that kind of openness is uncomfortable. At least it is for me. And so I was trying to think through, why is that idea so uncomfortable for us? And for me, anyways, I realized it's really about insecurity, right? I don't want God to see everything. I mean, everything. I don't want God to see everything, because I know what everything looks like, and it ain't pretty. I mean, you guys don't know everything about me, but I pretty much do. And there's a reason why I don't show everything. How many of you ever had the walking in the lunchroom holding the tray dream, and then you look down, you're only in your underwear? Has anyone ever had that dream? Is it seriously just me? None of you guys have had that dream? Or the, like, you know, naked in public or any of those kind of things? It's seriously just me? Oh my gosh, right.
Sharing too much, Mike.
Do we have any counselors in the room? Because I'm feeling very vulnerable right now. I used to have those dreams a lot. Okay, apparently it's just me. The one I still have doesn't have anything to do with that. I've talked about underwear nudity twice now. I'm sorry, this is not, it's turning into a rated R sermon. The one I do still have, though, that kind of plays on some kind of insecurities, I'll still have this dream, you know, every once in a while, especially if kind of high stress, a lot of things going on, and I'll have a dream where I'm side stage at like a play. I've only been in one play in my life. I don't know why this is the setting. And like, so it's dark where I'm at, and I can see the lights on the stage, and there's people acting out a play on the stage, and I have no idea what the play is. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the characters are. They're dressed in certain outfits, whatever. And then they do the, okay, ready? One, two, three. Okay, now your turn. And they push me out there. And I'm doing the, I don't know my part. I don't know their parts. I don't know what the play is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so I just start like making stuff up on the spot, and then everyone gets mad at me and people start laughing at me. It's like, you know, I don't know what's going on. So there's this like total vulnerability in front of everyone, right? And for just me, the rest of the sermon will be just for me, because you guys obviously don't struggle with any of the same things I do. But that kind of deep-seated fear of being vulnerable or unable to defend yourself, being exposed, I think that's a deep, I believe it's a deep-seated fear we all have, even though you guys obviously manifest it differently. What about the socks on the tile floor trying to get away from something? You got anyone have that? Man, I got some issues, y'all. You guys never have a dream where you can't get away from something that you're trying to run away from? Like it's like running in mud or something? All right, fine. Okay, I'm going to keep saying stuff so you guys agree with something. Sheesh. Quicksand? Okay, thank you. It all gets at the same thing. That's what I'm going to tell myself tonight when I go to sleep. There's this insecurity, there's this feeling of someone seeing something you don't want them to see, of you not being able to put your best foot forward, right? And because we've just developed so many ways, and part of what it means to be an adult is that we've learned how to hide that stuff, right? That's part of what we kind of, on the one hand, love, but also think is so funny about kids. I mean, like Lillian right now, part of what's so funny about her is she's got no way, she doesn't hide anything, right? Every emotion, every feeling, everything is just out in the open, right? And so it's hilarious, right? It's like a little tiny drunk person walking around who's lost all their defenses, right? And and she's totally exposed in so many ways, but it doesn't bother her, and that's what's so kind of pure and wonderful about a child. But we don't have that anymore because we learn these defenses. We learn how to hide these things. That's why Facebook is so wonderful, because I get to make up who I want to be and give it to everyone, right? And it's why I don't like people digging into my Facebook and telling me things I may not want people to know about me, like I'm a 40-year-old pastor. But we build these defenses. Being kind of vulnerable and being that open is something that, at least in me, creates some kind of anxiety or insecurity. And yet, David, who is far from perfect, who has got plenty of skeletons in his closet. I mean, he, you know, cheated with someone else's wife and then had the guy killed. I mean, there's a lot of things in David's life that are not pretty. He somehow still finds this idea to be wonderful, to be a beautiful idea, not one that is kind of creepy or impinged on something or makes him feel insecure. Right? So does Nathanael in the New Testament verse that you heard tonight, where he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, you know, oh man, I know this guy. And he's like, you don't know him. He's like, yeah, I knew you under the fig tree. Now, the funny thing about that verse is we have no idea what happened under the fig tree. Like, what does that mean? I knew you under the fig tree. Surely it couldn't have just been that he happened to stand under a fig tree at one point, because you could say that about anyone. That'd be like one of those TV psychics. Be like, I feel like you are sometimes sad, but sometimes, and they're like, yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, there had to be something significant that happened under the fig tree for the guy to be like, whoa, you're the Son of God. Immediately, right? Somehow this idea of Jesus knowing way more about him than he should was a source of comfort to him. It was a source of hope for him, as it is for David in these verses. David talks about being hemmed in, which is like a military term. It's being outflanked, like you can't outfight God's knowledge of you. David talks about things that he hasn't even finished saying that are already known to God. And all this is not a source of anxiety, but it's a source of wonder and beauty. Why? Why is this a good thing instead of a bad thing? Why is this a source of comfort instead of a source of anxiety? And I think it works so well with what we talked about last week, because the answer to that, I think, is love, unconditional love. After all, you can't really talk about unconditional love without also talking about full, intimate knowledge. I mean, doesn't a truly unconditional love imply that the giver of that love sees everything and still loves? It's partly why I can't really love unconditionally, because I don't know all the conditions for me to get past or ignore, right? Does that make sense? Like, you have to really kind of know everything in order to accept someone anyways. This may be a bad example, but 6 months ago, pretty much everyone in America loved Bill Cosby. But there's things that people didn't know. Whether it ends up being true or false, I don't know, and I'm not here to say. I don't know, obviously. But now everyone's affections are a little more tempered, because there's conditions to place on it, conditions that we know about. The idea with God is that God already knows all those things and loves anyways. Truthfully, you can't love at all, let alone unconditionally, without knowing. Right? I mean, I think I've used this example before, but it certainly happened to me, and I'm sure it probably happened to you. You know, for me, it was like the first day I showed up at high school, which we moved to a new town. I went to a new high school, and of course, I was nervous and all these kind of things. And I saw this girl who was also her first day, and we happened to be in this one classroom meeting the teacher at the same time. And I thought, that girl's the one for me. Right? I mean, she was cute, and she laughed, and I was just a little bit smitten with her right away. And I started kind of building this whole narrative of who she was and how wonderful our life together was going to be. And all those kind of good things, right? I mean, I was already falling for this girl. And then, like, first day of school came, and I managed to kind of work things around so that I could actually get next to her and talk to her. And we started talking, and about 60 seconds into talking, I was like, oh, nope, you're not the one. You are not the one for me. Like, I realized, like, oh, I didn't know that girl at all, right? I wasn't falling for her. I was falling for whatever I made up about her, right? We can't love what we don't know. We can only love what we make up about something or someone we don't know. Today, I love my wife more than I did at our wedding. Not just because my warm fuzzies are bigger than they ever have been, although certainly they are. I love my wife more now than I did at our wedding because I know her more. I'm intimately more aware of every part of her life and every part of her character. We've gone through things. We've wrestled with things. We've figured things out. We've seen each other at our highs and our lows. So my love for her is deeper because I know her better. I know her in ways I could never have imagined 11 years ago. And if I don't know someone, then I can't really love them, right? I can only love what I've manufactured about them. And again, we've all done this at some point. And just as God loves more deeply than us, so then God must know more deeply than us. God knows every minuscule detail, every small part, whether it's in the light or in the darkest corner of our heart and our soul and God still loves. God still delights in us, even knowing all that God knows. Truth is, you can't find that deal anyplace else. If I walked up tonight and I said to them, you know, I've got this, you know, I am a pastor, so I've got this, you know, special connection with God, and God, you know, gives me things that he doesn't give everyone else, as we all know how it works for pastors. And I said, what I've got is a DVD with each of your names on it, and I've got a nice big stack up here, and, you know, here's bringing some popcorn and some sodas and some pizzas. We're just going to hang out and have movie time. And each one of these DVDs has got your name on it, and each one of these DVDs has got just, we're going to watch the video of every terrible thing you've ever done that no one knows about. So everyone just hang out, and let's have some pizza and popcorn and drink some sodas, and let's just watch the movies. Enjoy it, right? If you're anything like me, you would really like to see that movie until your name was coming up, right? At which point you'd run up here, grab the DVD, run out screaming, and never see any of us again, right? I mean, there's parts of our lives that we don't want anyone else to know about, and God has seen the movie. Not even the darkest parts of who we are hidden from God. Dark is as light to God. And yet God still loves. We are known. We are not alone. God is, almost to a disturbing degree, with us. God is with you. Even in the places where you feel separated from God, even in the places where you're sure God is not there and maybe you feel like you've hidden from God, God is with you. Now, you remember last week we talked about finding our identity. If you weren't here, you can listen to the podcast. We talked about Jesus' baptism and the words that came out when heaven ripped open. We talked about how all that we do in this world is born from who we understand ourselves to be, why identity is so important, and we can find our truest identity in the words God speaks when heaven is ripped open. Remember, at Jesus' baptism, we hear God's heart towards God's children. And remember what God says essentially is, you belong to me, I love you dearly, and your very existence brings me joy. You belong to me, I love you dearly, your very existence brings me joy. And if this is true, if God loves that deeply, if God truly does love without condition, if that really good news is actually true, then this kind of obsessive knowledge of God is actually quite a beautiful thing. Because in the end, knowing is part of loving, and knowing fully is the only way to be loved unconditionally. And the only reason I'm insecure about people knowing more about me than I want them to is because I know people's love is not unconditional. I know at some point you can see something, or I can say something, or I can do something, and you walk away. And I would venture to say that a lot of us live most of our lives basically operating out of that fear, to one degree or another. And then along comes Emmanuel, God with us, God who knows everything and still loves. And at the end of the day, this is where followers of Christ, where we as followers of Christ, locate the core of their own identity, because we are known. I am known. I am knit together by God's own hands. My life is initiated by the very breath of God. There is not a single detail, a nook, or a cranny of my soul, even the darkest parts, that God does not know, and yet God does not leave me alone. I am not alone. Not only does God know about me in some kind of abstract way that he could answer whatever questions, like how many hairs are on my head, which is getting easier by the day, but God is truly with me. In the darkest of dark nights in my life, in the brightest of light, in the hidden and in the exposed, in my joys and my sorrows and my strengths and my failures, I am not alone because I belong to God. I am known fully. I am loved dearly. I am known fully, and my very existence brings God joy. How different do we operate in this world if we really believe that? If we let that sink into the deepest parts of who we are? You are not alone. You belong to God. You are known fully by God. You are loved dearly by God. You are known fully by God, and your very existence still brings God joy. May we, as followers of Christ, live as Christ did. May we, as followers of Christ, do as Christ did, and may we rest and locate ourselves in this wonderful mystery of God's obsessive love. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that your love, it knows no boundaries. And Lord, while we are not big enough, while we do not have the capacity to know fully nor the capacity to love fully, you do both. Lord, we are thankful that there's no part of our lives that is hidden from you. And Lord, we are thankful that although you know every part of us, even the thoughts that we haven't fully formed, good or bad, ugly or beautiful, your love remains steadfast. Lord, may we lean into the good news of a God who is truly, fully with us. A God who is with us in every aspect, every place of our soul. Lord, may we revel in the fact, may we realize that this is news too wonderful for us to even capture. That you know us, that we belong to you, that you love us dearly, and that our very existence brings you joy. Lord, we do love you so much. And we ask all things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this week. Remember, if you're with us for the first time and you want to be kept up to date, get us your email address, put that in the box by the back door, and we'll add you to the list. If you have any gifts for the ministries of this community, including our ministries at Hawkins Elementary, you can put those in that box and we will put them to good use. And hopefully we will see you again next week. Just know that no matter who you are, where you're coming from, no matter what's going on in your life, you're welcome here, and we are better off with you in the room. And so we hope that you will join us in this community if you do not already have a community you're connected to. As we go through this week, first, say some prayers for me, because I obviously have some issues that no one else has, and so I'm going to really need to think about some things. But as we go through this week, may we open ourselves up to the idea that there is truly nothing in our lives that is hidden from God. And even though God has seen the movie, including all the ugly parts, God remains steadfast, and his love for us remains unconditional. And may we be a people that walk into this world not in fear, but knowing that we are fully known and fully loved by the Creator of all things. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Have a great week.